This is Dave Glowitz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Are you ready to do it?
Go, baby.
Today we're talking about Ben's column that appeared in the Reader on March 4th, 2010, called An Island in the Swamp. This article provides capsule profiles of various political independents and some not so independent who have come from the community of Hyde Park in Chicago over the years. Ben, do you have any particular connection with Hyde Park?
None, actually, other than occasionally dropping in and doing a radio show at WHPK. Let me plug that.
Fairly new.
That's pretty much it.
One of the things that you mentioned that I'm curious about is you described the University of Chicago, which is one of the biggest influences in Hyde Park, as creating some self-serving urban renewal projects. Can you elaborate on that at all?
The biggest one of all is the great urban renewal project of the 50s and 60s that the University of Chicago and the old Mayor Daley did. That ignited so much local protest, and a generation of activists emerged from that. I suppose depends on who's telling the story, whether that was a great achievement of planning in terms of keeping the larger ghetto from moving in to Hyde Park, which is how the situation was depicted at the time when the urban renewal project was being discussed. You go back and you read some of the literature, you'll see the people at University of Chicago were actually talking about the black ghetto sort of moving into Hyde Park. And then if you come further down in history, you get to a development deal that you and I talked about, actually. It wasn't so much an urban renewal, in that the urban renewal generally means that you're forcing people to move. But it was that the plan to tear down the old hospital in Hyde Park and turn it into a hotel. And it was the University of Chicago plan, and it just sparked all sorts of upheaval in the neighborhood and some great organizing, and really smart tacticians emerged from the community to lead the charge against the University of Chicago, and it just reminded me in so many ways of old battles. It's just a community, and here's where the irony is, Dave. Because of the presence of the University of Chicago, which, as you know, is filled with really smart people, there's a lot of smart people who live in Hyde Park. Many of them are graduates of the University of Chicago who moved to Hyde Park as students and stayed. This is just like a higher level of intellect, and you see it in how they approach their politics, for better or for worse.
That reminds me of a conversation I was having yesterday with a mutual friend of ours, whose name I won't mention, who works for the state legislature. I asked him about the possibility that the legislature will take action to rescue Illinois out of its severe budget crisis. We're going through an economic meltdown now in state government. And I asked, you know, is it likely that the legislature will act? And he said he was sad to report that it didn't seem likely because most of the legislators, with a few notable exceptions, are short-sighted, self-serving, and they're pretty much looking to see how they can benefit from the crisis rather than trying to make important political compromises and sacrifices to get the state back on track. And it leads me to ask this question of you, and maybe you touched on it here just a minute ago. Is there anything in particular about Hyde Park? Is it some sort of crucible that creates the kind of public servant that isn't so self-serving and perhaps you would say smarter than your average contemporary politician? That makes it more likely that those sorts of people, the people who come from Hyde Park, will not be of the sort of mold that the rest of us cynics see on a daily basis.
Well, you know, it's a great question. I think that, again, the presence of the University of Chicago produces the type of public servant that you're talking about. In addition to ambitious, smart conservatives that come out of the university, there's also ambitious, smart liberals that come out of the university, and idealistic liberals, I would say. They're the ones who will be following some kind of reformer philosophy where government should run more efficiently, without patronage, protected from the influence of special interest. You know, sort of like the reformer idealism that we have in Chicago. I attribute it to the presence of the University of Chicago, which has a way, like I was saying earlier, of developing great minds in all parts of the fight. You know, Eddie Verdoliak came from the University of Chicago as well. So it's not just reformers that come out of there. But I've always attributed it to the University of Chicago's presence that has created that community. I was sort of tweaking them in the article because it's the development side of the University of Chicago that forces so many of the great thinkers that come out of it to really get streetwise in terms of battling the politicians, the powers that be. So I think it's a combination. It's a great incubator for young reformer types.
I'm thinking about what other communities have an environment similar to that of the U of C presence in Hyde Park. And the first one that comes to mind is Rogers Park, with the presence of Loyola and right across the Evanston border, Northwestern University.
Excellent analogy. It's the same principle. And in terms of Loyola and Northwestern, more Loyola and Northwestern, Loyola brings bright, idealistic young people to the area, and then in many cases Loyola proposes preposterous development deals that many of the bright, young, idealistic people they brought to the area battle, and they learn the political skills by fighting the institution that brought them to the area. So it's a similar relationship, absolutely, and it's part of the reason why Rogers Park, I think Rogers Park is very similar to Hyde Park in that it's a sort of volatile mix of all sorts of opinionated, smart people who study Chicago politics and know it well and are very passionate about it and have long memories and continue to fight old fights years after most people have forgotten the fights ever existed. Very similar communities, and also they're racially integrated, or at least as racially integrated as we get in Chicago. Rogers Park is one of my favorite communities to write about, as is Hyde Park, for all these reasons.
So if we wanted to foment the creation of public-spirited people who go on to become good office holders, perhaps we could just hook up more local institutions of higher learning with developers.
Yeah, you don't have to go too far to hook them up, because that's a natural relationship. Mm-hmm. Universities are complicated things. They have many different sides, all sorts of different voices, and the developmental side of the universities tends to think very pragmatically, and they cut their deals with the powers that be, and they're not really interested in idealism and good government. They're interested in furthering their best interests. Then you have the idealistic part of the university where you have professors who study the great thinkers and teach their students to be idealistic as opposed to pragmatic. And so the two sort of battle each other out. And my overall assessment of it is that universities are good things, and I'm glad we have them in Chicago. I've been critical of them in many instances, particularly in development deals. Loyola comes to mind, University of Chicago comes to mind. I haven't really gone after DePaul in a long time. But overall, we're much better off by having them around. So I hope they prosper, just not at the expense of everybody else.
On that note, I'll say Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.